Good morning, church. So how many of you enjoyed not having to scrape your car this morning? When I got up this morning and saw that our thermometer said like 35, 37 degrees, I thought, first day in God knows how long, it was above freezing all night long. So what a joy it is to be in God's house this day with warmer temperatures when we can celebrate God's gifts and God's blessings. Hopefully this day we will experience the power and presence of Christ, that we might then be faithful servants in the world. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
We'd like to offer a warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning, and especially those who are visiting. If you're visiting with us today, please be sure to take a welcome packet from the shepherd's crook near the entrance to the sanctuary. And as I'm sharing our announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad in each pew and pass it to others in your pew, finally returning it toward the center aisle. If you notice that someone who normally sits near you is missing this morning, please give them a call this week and let them know that they were missed. And you also may write any prayer requests on the cards in the attendance folders and place them in the holders at the ends of the pews so that our ushers can bring them to the pastor before the joys and concerns. So now I'd like to share some moments of informality and the mission and ministry and the work of our church. A couple of special announcements. The SPRC meeting scheduled for Tuesday has been canceled until after Easter. And also, definitely want to thank everyone who helped set up, attended, baked a dessert for, and prayed for us for the Spud Bar on Friday. It was a success only because of everyone's help and support. All proceeds from the dinner benefit the church. Thank you very much. All the announcements are in the bulletin. Diane has special announcements for you.
I need help from all of you to publicize the Living Last Supper. Out on the table where you enter the sanctuary, there are the little pocket posters. I made some more up, so if you took a bunch last week and gave them out, take some more. There are also some posters. If you can ask permission and post them around town in stores or shops where they allow such a thing, that would be great. Also, we have yard signs. Now, I heard from some robins that eventually we're going to see green grass. It's under there somewhere. So if you'll take a yard sign or two, and once you find a yard to put them in, please put them in. We have a lot back there, so please take some yard signs. Now, I am so delighted to see so many people here. How many of you are, no, you won't confess. I was going to say, how many of you are here because you forgot to set your clocks and you thought this was first service? Well, in honor for all of you remembering to set your clocks, I want to invite all of you for the Sunday after Easter. We're going to continue the joy of the Easter season on Holy Humor Sunday. You need to be thinking about what you're going to wear on your head for Holy Humor Hat Day. And also, this year, we're going to have food after the second service. So you're asked to make a dish to pass for 10 to 12 people, a Holy Humor dish to pass. Now, it doesn't have to be green eggs and ham. It can be anything. And you can think of a humorous name to give it. Just make sure it's edible. So use your put on your thinking caps for that as well, and we'll hope to see you for lunch after the service. We'll have a fashion show for all of your marvelous creations as well.
I am John. I remember that Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every vine, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, for a branch cannot bear fruit on its own. Neither can you unless you in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And Jesus also said, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than one who lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. I choose you.
I am Simon. I remember that the world asked Jesus, who gives you the authority to do these things? Is it lawful to pay a tax to Caesar or not? And the world lied and cheated, plotted and schemed to do away with the one who would have chosen them, who would have been their friend, who loved them and would lay down his life for them.
The days of Lent grow darker as the cross comes into focus, where the one with the greatest love has laid down his life for us, his friends.
Please stand if you're able for the call to worship in the bulletin. The heavens shout out the glories of the Lord.
Ascending earth is written across the skies.
The music of creation sings throughout the earth.
Day by day, night by night, in word and in song, declare the glories of the Lord.
Please remain standing for our unison prayer. Lord, as we gather together in your house, we leave the ways of the world behind. We seek only to worship you in spirit and in truth, letting nothing come between us. We want only to be enriched by your wisdom, your strength, your ways, and your love. Bless all who have come to seek you on this, your holy day. Amen. Now. Okay, if you can remain standing, please, for the hymn of praise, number 77 in our red hymnal, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all today?
Good.
Good. I see a couple more coming. You know, when I just sat down here, I just realized I'm starting to come apart.
I've got some duct tape on the side.
You've got some duct tape on the side. Who was quacking earlier? You were quacking. Do you have duct tape? You're all a little slow this morning. You missed that hour of sleep, didn't you? So I see I'm going to have to get some needle and thread out and go to work on here and get this taken care of. Do you sew?
No. I do.
No? Do you?
I do.
Do you? I'm learning to sew.
I have a sewing machine.
Do you have a sewing machine?
Yeah, I know how to sew too.
Does it turn on? Do you have to plug it in? No? Do you have a hand crank?
No, you just press the button.
Batteries.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, we have an old one at home that you make it run with your toes.
Oh, I'm one.
Yeah, you have to pump it with your feet, and then there's a belt, and it spins, and you can sew. And I was...
2 feet?
2 feet, yes. Back and forth. You have a sewing machine too? See? And I fixed a shirt the other day. And I have another shirt I need to fix. And I need to redo the cuff on these pants. If you know what foot I can use to hem my pants, let me know. I don't want to do them by hand. What's that? Yeah, but these are so... There's a hem the whole way through, stitching. And I tore a machine apart the other day and cleaned it, and I had to rewire it. Because you'd turn the light on, you'd step on the pedal, the machine would go, and the light would go off. So I had to rewire it the right way. Either Grandma or Grandpa had switched wires 1 and 2. And I put them back, and now the light stays on. So that's good news. So I'll have to learn. I don't know whether I'll do this one by hand or have to do it by with the machine. I'll have to wait and see. I suspect by hand I'll do that. So sewing, I know, you're looking at me going, a boy sews? You better believe it. It's okay for a boy to sew. It's okay for a boy to do dishes. That's okay. Good deal here.
He sews on my machine.
He sews on your machine. That's okay. That's good. Boys need to know how to do that. When I do buttons, I put a toothpick under the button. And then when I'm done with a button, I do circles around it underneath it, and then you can button it. Because if you get a button too tight, it won't button. Your moms and dads will help you figure that out. Talking to a lady yesterday, she was in another country. And she said the men just kind of wouldn't do anything in the kitchen. And by the time she left, she even had the bishop saying please and thank you to women. Yeah, the bishop was not, Zimbabwe, did not say please and thank you to his wife. And this minister looked at him and said, we say please and thank you in our country. And you need to say please and thank you to the ladies. And she had the boys cooking and washing and scrubbing dishes when she left. So it doesn't matter that we're boys and girls. We can do all kinds of things. We were talking earlier in confirmation class about a new creation and doing new things. And that's what God wants us to do new things in ministry for Him. For God. Now, in this bulletin today, Jesus really did something new and different. What's that say? Jesus cleans the temple. Jesus cleaned the temple, but he didn't clean it like running a vacuum and dusting. Jesus got angry because there were people in there who were stealing from people. And so Jesus flipped the tables upside down, made the money scatter all over the floor, and said, do not make God's house
a place that steals and robs from people. And Jesus got a little angry that day, did something new and something different. But we all need to remember that to always do what God wants us to do, what Jesus wants us to do. And that might just be something that's a little new and different, but that's okay. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. Continue, O God, to bless them and all of those who care for them every single day, their moms and dads, their grandmas and grandpas. For we pray that just as Jesus grew in his wisdom, may they grow in wisdom as well. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, you are collecting today for Meals on Wheels. I couldn't remember what it was called. I knew that it helps older people get food during the week.
I worship you, I worship you, I worship you, O Lord. And give to you what you deserve, all praise forevermore. There is no one like you, you reign in majesty. I will always thank you.
Join me in our responsive reading found on page 750 in the red hymnal, the 19th Psalm. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. In them, God has sent a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and runs its course with joy like a strong man.
His rising is from the end of the heavens, and his circuit is the end of them, and there is nothing new from his heels.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are true, and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward.
We do not understand one's own errors. We do not need for hidden faults.
Also, keep your servant from the insolent. let them not have dominion over me. And now I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward, please, for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings. Us to put no other gods before you. Often our lives have demonstrated that we have done the opposite. We worship gods of power, wealth, beauty, popularity, and self-gratification, to name only a few. As we give our gifts to you, we proclaim you as the one and only God of love, deserving of our dedication and praise. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. It's a time when we have this moment of privilege to lift up joys and concerns and to be able to pray for individuals in our midst and our communities and around the world. On the back of your worship folder, at this point, there is no one that I'm aware of in our membership at Forbes Hospital. Everybody is home. But we'll want to continue to remember Hazel in Westmoreland Hospital as she continues to regroup there, and they offer her some ongoing treatments as well. The other listings there, those in our personal care homes, those that we continually keep on our prayer list, those that rotates on and off on a monthly basis, and then our service personnel that are listed there at the bottom.
I also have an addition, prayers for Scott, who has received a new kidney, and to pray that that all goes well and remains healthy for him. All we need to do as well is to turn on the TV, and we can see a multitude of individuals and situation. We had a report yesterday at a meeting here that part of the church was involved up in the Latrobe Ligonier area to monitor some flooding, and that the church relief teams are not going to be used at this time. It seems that the homes that were damaged, the Red Cross is handling, and the church does not need to be involved, and it was not as bad as it could have been. Probably one of those things where the water was high enough that the ice moved out instead of a lower water flow where the ice would dam up and then create some other issues until that would blow on out. So hopefully ice is a thing of the past for a while, but we shall see. So let us unite our hearts and our spirits then in our prayer hymn number 361, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Gracious and loving God, we long for your presence. We long to crawl up into your presence, into your loving and caring arms, and sometimes, oh God, just to hide from the world and to be in your presence. Oh God, you invite each and every one of us to come. You invite each and every one of us to come and be in your presence. And we come, O God, for a multitude of reasons. We come to be comforted. We come to receive grace and forgiveness. We come, O God, to have our batteries charged. We come, O God, to learn. We come seeking your holy presence, your healing power. We come, O God, seeking discernment for decisions and situations in our lives. O God, we come. And with wide open arms, you receive and welcome each and every one of us. O God, what good news this is. We come and you offer to us, O God, that which we need. You receive us into your presence and you send us out, O God, as new creations, as changed individuals. O God, may we be faithful in our going. For when we interact and meet the Holy One, life is never the same. It's different. It's better. It's filled with power and glory. Oh God, you are the one that as you receive us, you call us to receive others. And in receiving others, O God, we are mindful of those who are in need. We are mindful, O God, of those situations that cannot be made public, but you hear and know what is upon our hearts. The names of individuals on our prayer list, those that have been added this day, the situations, O God, around our neighborhoods, our communities, our country, our world. Oh God, we pray for the health and the wholeness of people. We pray for lives that will be changed and transformed and made new. We pray, oh God, for the mission and ministry as us as individuals, as us as families, as us as a church. May we seek, O God, this week to be a part of that that you desire to change, to transform, and to make new. And may we live within a part of your kingdom. O God, continue to be with us as we seek to be with you as we journey through this season of Lent. May we remember the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that his life freely and willingly was offered upon the cross, that his blood was shed as that final, complete, and perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins and the sins of the whole world. O God, may we live and may we share. May we be the good news of Christ our Lord. For it's in his holy and precious name that we pray, as we share together in the prayer he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would invite you now to hear these words that come to us from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Paul writes these words: "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Is not God made foolish? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching, their claim upon our daily lives and living. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. You are in luck today. Yesterday, I left the house about 7:30 in the morning, and I was here for a meeting. That meeting finished about 3:30. Worked on confirmation. I was looking at my sermon, and 6 o'clock was coming around, and I had 3 full pages for my sermon. I see a head going. I condensed it to this. The joke is that some clergy can say something in 5 words and they say it in 20. Don't want one of those today. Sometimes, you know, the worst part of the 20-minute sermon is the last 10 minutes. Or the worst part of a 10-minute sermon is the last 20 minutes. My mom and dad's advice, someone asked me again earlier, I think was the best preaching advice I ever got. My mom said, take a passage of Scripture, tell me what it meant when it was written, tell me what it means today, how you apply it to your life. And my dad said, and when you're done, sit down. We all know that time, familiarity, sometimes just covers up things. I've been intrigued in the house we live in that you own and provide for us. There are I'll bet to say every room, there are spots on the wall where it seems the paint didn't adhere. It's just the goofiest thing. I've repaired some of them. And a while ago in the bathroom, I thought, that one is driving me up a wall. So I went down into the basement and I got paint. We have the ceilings are dark purple and the walls in our bathroom are light purple. So I got the paint, shook the living daylights out of it, painted that spot, and I thought, oh, I hope that gets lighter as it dries. It's not the ceiling paint, and I've now realized it's not the wall paint. I'm not sure what room that purple goes in, but I'm waiting for the paint to dry so I can redo it the right color. I've waited about a year and a half. It's this spot about the size of a half dollar. Now, I promised Leanna that, Andrew help me because we're both home tomorrow, that spot's going to get fixed. Repaint that. And I was looking at some other ones. And I'm just intrigued how they got there. But, you know, you just don't see them anymore. You drive through a parking lot. And we all know they're there, but those spaces with that blue sign. Handicap spots. Oh, I'm glad there was one here. And you better not park in those unless you have that placard that goes over your rearview mirror. Or do they still have the license plates? So you can do either or. Okay. You have one. Yes. Yes. You better not park there. And on that blue sign, there's a wheelchair. And in the wheelchair is a person, a stick figure, handicapped stick figure. Do you ever pay attention to what they look like? They look like they have a rod in their back. They're about as straight up as you can be. Their feet, legs come out, bend at a 90-degree angle. Their knees at a 90-degree angle, and their hands are right here. When was the last time you saw somebody that rigid sitting in a chair? You know? And so there's movement in some states around the country to change that image, where the person's bent over a little bit and their arms are on the wheel and there's movement because that handicapped person is active. When Leanne and I were dating, she was working at that time at the Harmerville Rehab Center. That was the main place in the country to go. And she would talk about the paraplegics being on basketball teams. I said, what? Those folks could play basketball. I can't even do that with two good feet, two good arms, and as hopefully coordinated as I think I am. So there's kind of a movement to change that sign. So most states, it seems, are not going to just, boom, do them all, but they're going to replace them gradually as signs get bad or torn down or worn out or, you know, somebody slides into them because they misjudged the ice and the snow, whatever. So start paying attention and see when you see, if you even see, in Pennsylvania, one of those new handicap signs that shows a little bit of mobility in the person. So what other signs are we accustomed to? What other things in life are we accustomed to? I can't dig it out. I did last night because it was easier. But how many wear a cross? I have one on. I've worn a silver cross probably since high school, early college. Same one. I haven't lost it yet. And, you know, yesterday, the meeting I had, we were interviewing potential new clergy and some other clergy. And, you know, I guess I don't know about you, but I get a little nervous when, you know, this didn't happen yesterday. But maybe the person comes in and they've scoured their home and brought the family Bible. And they've got a cross about this big that they're wearing. And I'm thinking, really? You know, that's not what I would call a magnet to them. That's more of something that is repulsing me to go away. And it seems that crosses have just become jewelry. How many of you remember Madonna? She's still around, still singing. You know, did you ever wonder, is there no contradiction there for her to be wearing a cross and maybe some of those songs and outfits? And you go, what are they thinking? Somebody came up to me last night and said that there was a woman that walked in and said, well, I'd like to buy a cross. And so the jeweler was helping her out. And she says, No. And he said, what? She says, I want one of those ones with that little man on it. Had no idea what that was, but it sells. So what does the cross mean to you? Is it just a sign? Just a symbol?
Or does it really have an impact? The season of Lent, do we really remember that that cross, well, it really, for us to wear a cross around our necks for the first century Jews, it would have been like us wearing an electric chair. Because the cross was reserved for terrorists, for insurrectionists, for those that were challenging the Roman government, and they just needed to get rid of that person because they didn't want those challenges going on in society. So what's that cross mean? It's that place where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ offered that final, complete, that perfect sacrifice. It should mean something, and when it impacts our lives, as we were talking in confirmation, it should cause a new creation. Now, a few years ago, after church, I stopped by at Giant Eagle. And I had my items, and I only had a handful, so I went through the quick checkout, you know, the 12 and under line, and it wasn't the self-checkout then. There was a gentleman that was ringing me out and doing things, and somehow we started this conversation, and he could tell I had gone to church, I had a tie on. He said, "I don't know what these preachers and priests are saying to their people on Sunday morning," he said, "but I'm telling you, these people that come in here on Sunday morning are the angriest people we've ever seen." I kept quiet who I was. Now, one of the ladies here last night and here again this morning works at Giant Eagle. And she said to me, "Oh, David, we have conversations. It's between 10 and 2 on Sundays that the angriest people come into Giant Eagle that have been to church." Folks, that's a little funny, but that's sad. That is sad. If that is our perception in the world, that somehow these Christians are getting all fussed up on Sunday morning and we're treating people in a nasty, negative way, shame on us. Where is that new creation? Does the cross of Jesus Christ change and transform us and make us something new? Does the cross of Jesus Christ have an impact on us? Now, there's a couple lines here I didn't want to forget. We should be recognized by the world for the work of Christ within us. And that, my friend, should be good news, not bad news. We demonstrate Christ best. We demonstrate Christ best by living lives that are humble, generous, and filled with ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's the whole reason for the cross of Jesus Christ, so that we might experience the good news of Jesus Christ and live that and share that good news with the world. If you go to Giant Eagle, when you leave church, you better have a smile on your face. But I even one time, this is way, way before, you know, 20 years ago, went to Eaton Park after church. And I don't know how the conversation to the waitress, and she said, "No, I couldn't go to church this morning. If you church people didn't come to eat on Sunday afternoon, I'd go to church." If I were a young kid today, I'd go to Chick-fil-A and get a job. Because I'd always have Sundays off. Always have Sundays off. And I think they have wonderful sandwiches. But that's beside the point. We need to radiate the love of Jesus Christ. It needs to ooze out of every pore in our body that others might experience the loving power and presence of Christ in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits every single day. That's what the cross means. That's the good news. May we wear it. May we remember. And may we live it. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the good news. The good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, and how he seeks to change, to transform us, and to make us new, that we might be gifted with his presence. That we might live and share it in the world, O God, is our hope and our prayer. Send us in with joy and a smile upon our faces, that others might experience his power, his presence, his grace, his forgiveness through us today and every day. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing our closing hymn. It's found on an insert sheet. Let's stand and unite our voices together. Gracious and loving God, it is our hope that indeed we will stand in the very power of Christ, that we will allow his presence to shape us, to mold us, to make us into that one that you have created and desire for us to be. Oh God, send us into the world with a sense of joy and celebration upon our hearts, that we might be good news today to the world. Because Christ is within us. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.